My family and I had the opportunity this past summer to head up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We went to a place called Porcupine Mountain State Park. It sits right off of Lake Superior. It is gorgeous. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to do a little bit under two mile hike on the Presque Isle River. And on this hike, we actually encountered these incredibly beautiful waterfalls. This is actually us at the Presque Isle River, and then doing the loop, the hike there. And we love to go hiking when we're out camping. And so we saw these beautiful waterfalls. And while we were on our way, we were on the path, and it was all designated and lined out for us, all of a sudden we hit a sign that said the path was closed and we had to take a detour. It said hazard ahead. Now, it didn't indicate what the hazard was, but we've been hiking enough times to know that it could have been a downed tree. It could have been erosion from because it's close to the river. It could have been like when we were in Yellowstone, the path was closed because of a bear. In fact, it was a sow, which is a female bear and a mother bear. And basically, they were warning hikers not to continue down the path because of this sow in the area, because that's a game changer. That's like kind of lights out in that moment. So as we hit this this crossroads, we're literally standing there, and there was a sign that says, don't go this way. And the other sign said, follow the route. And we didn't quite understand what that meant. There was little markings on the trees that we were encouraged to believe that that was the way that we were supposed to go. So we did what any responsible parent would do. We sent our 11-year-old son, Parker, to go and scout it out for us. So we're standing at the crossroads and we send Parker. He takes off and he, you know, I could see him kind of running and disappears a little bit into the woods. And then he comes back and he says, no, this is the way, right? And so we were like, okay, great. And we all started following the path that he knew how to get us around this detour because the other path was closed. And as we were walking, I remember thinking to myself, that'll preach. That'll preach. And I think when we talk about these paths and we talk about crossroads and making decisions, I think spiritually speaking, we experience the same thing. How often do we encounter the same on the road of life? Our road with life is filled with crossroads. Now, in a typical crossroads series, it's based on, you know, this is the path of righteousness and follow this path, and this is the path that leads to destruction. Many are on it. Actually, we know that from Scripture. And that would be the typical way that we would handle this series. But I want to take this a little bit different. I want to think about this pathway as meeting with God at the crossroads of life, meaning that there's every day we're faced with decisions. Every day we stand at the crossroads, and some of the decisions are massive, moving decisions, decisions about where we will live, decisions about work, decisions about what to do with our kids and education, and do we do online, do we do in person? Well, in person is not an option, so I guess it's online. I mean, there's so many different things that we're faced with that this series is going to provide an opportunity for us to think about the daily decisions that we have to make. Now, again, facing this decision process is not easy, but I want us to realize something. Many people are recording right now that they feel frustrated, lost, scared, lonely, helpless. These are all common emotions that many people are feeling right now. But what if I told you that you have a choice? You have a choice which path that you want to go down. And instead of feeling or staying in this feeling of being frustrated, what if you chose instead the path of peace? What if instead of being in this path of being alone, you chose a path of community? Instead of feeling helpless and this overwhelming feeling of helplessness, you instead chose a path to take action. Or maybe today you feel lost and confused. Maybe today the decision isn't to stay on the path of being lost and confused. Instead, it's to follow God. In fact, that's where we're going to start. We're going to start looking at this crossroads of being lost and confused versus the path of following God. Now, I know I make it sound very easy when I know it's not that easy. When we face these crossroads moments, these are really difficult moments. But I want you to think about in this this idea as the thought of a journey. And as we journey together, we're going to journey through this series of coming up to these crossroads and then really dissecting what does it mean to make the best decision. Now, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 139. So in Psalm 139, this is a go-to psalm for me, especially when I'm feeling depressed, when I'm feeling discouraged, when I'm feeling even alone or frustrated. I go to Psalm 139 because it speaks so much truth into my situation. But before we jump into Psalm 139, I want to share with you just a quick story. It's actually the story of Dr. Paul Barrera. Now, up until 2019, Dr. Paul Barrera was the chair of the Harvard University Health Service Department. He oversaw all of the health services for the entire university. He had a huge job. He did tons of research about students at Harvard, and he helped them from a clinical and psychiatric perspective, which is what his primary role was. Now, Paul was born in the Boston area, and when he was in high school, him and his family moved out to the Midwest. So he was born in the early 1950s. Moving out to the Midwest was a big change. And when they moved, all of a sudden, his father started to have weird behavior. He started to do really weird things, and his strange behavior. One time, he locked himself in the house, and he wouldn't let anybody in, and he wouldn't come out. And he was locked in there for hours. They ended up getting Paul's father treated, and they sent him to a psychiatrist who, unfortunately, over time, realized that his condition wasn't going to get better, and they ended up institutionalizing him. So Paul and his mother were called into a consultation with the psychiatrist, and as they pulled into the hospital, his mother looked at Paul and said, "I want you to stay in the car." About 20 minutes later, his mom comes out, and she's obviously very shaken up. She's crying, and they started to pull away, and they drove around for a while, and Paul was kind of quiet, but he said to his mom, "Mom, what did the doctor say?" And there was no response. "What did the doctor say, Mom? I want to know what's going on." And she looked at her son and said, "Well, the doctor shared with me that your father is very ill, and unfortunately for the rest of his life, he's going to be in a state hospital. And," she continued, "the doctor also said that you will experience the same thing and that it's only a matter of time." So Paul spent his high school years dealing with the weight of this prophecy. I mean, he walked around believing that any minute he was going to experience the same psychotic behavior as his father. And instead of choosing the path of being lost and frustrated, what he did instead was this diagnosis actually helped devote his life to psychiatry, and he made a choice. Instead of choosing that path of being lost and confused, instead he chose to follow God. He didn't know how it was going to end. He didn't know where the path was going to go, but he did know that if he followed God, that at least he would know that he was on the right path. So when we look at Psalm 139, and for time sensitivity, I want to paraphrase the first 12 verses. So this is a Psalm of David. In fact, some would say that this is one of the most important Psalms that David writes. His understanding of God being with him and God knowing everything is really paramount here, and it shows us in Psalm 139 what he means. He says that as he cries out to God, he says, "God, you know everything about me. You know whether I sit or whether I stand. You know my thoughts even before I have them." He even says to God, "God, you know whether I'm traveling or if I'm home." And he gets to this place where he says, "I can't even escape your presence. No matter where I go, you are there." And I love the fact that he, in verses 1 through 12, even recognizes that even if he goes to the darkest of places, that God is with him even there. I want to pick up for us here in Psalm 139, looking at verses 13 through 16. Verses 13 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this next verse. This is a really critical verse for us to look at today. He says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Now, there is a lot of themes in this one particular verse. You have on one hand, you have this extreme version of predestination. You know, the kind that says, you know, that God knows what tie we're going to wear in the morning or what shirt we're going to wear. Or if we stubbed our toe, God would know that as well. So you have this extreme version of predestination. Or God has to think about it differently. God has predestined his preferred future for those who follow to commit to follow him. And then also, this passage raises critical questions. Questions like, are we just robots and there's no other, you know, where it's out of our control and God just has it all preordained for us and it's all predestined. And so what's the point? Why even go down that path? Or the other extreme, which is the fact that we're drifting in and out of our own simple reality and we're just reacting to uncontrolled events that come our way. And so it's kind of this pendulum swinging of incredible predestined version of what God has in store for us versus us choosing so much that we just are met with these uncontrollable events. But perhaps I want to suggest to us that there's a middle ground. The middle ground that I believe that this passage really points to is the opportunity for us to exercise a deep faith and a hope that God is at work through the paths of our lives and bringing about his will even in the midst of us exercising our free will. See, that's what I believe is really happening. I think that the journey that we find ourselves in is a journey of relationship with God. So it's the difference, if we think about it, between a map and a compass. When we think about life in the form of a map, if we follow the map, you can look at it and you're going to see all the twists, all the turns, all the hills, all the valleys, all at one time. And I think about the great explorers and what would happen if they had a map in front of them. Think about Ernest Shackleton, Magellan, Lewis and Clark. Now, the reason they didn't have maps was because they were writing them. But could you imagine what process they would have gone through if they did have maps? If Ernest Shackleton knew how large Antarctica was? If Magellan knew what the area below South America or South Africa, what that would look like? I mean, he didn't realize that he was going to hit this vast ocean. If Lewis and Clark would have known that the pathway that leads to a river route to California or out to the Pacific Ocean was going to be thwarted by this incredible mountain range called the Colorado Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, I mean, they would never have started. They would never have gone down that path because they would have been able to have seen it all together at one time. So I don't believe that we have a map per se. I don't believe that our days are perfectly set, that they can't be changed. Because I believe that we have this wonderful gift called free will. That's what I'm going to talk about in this series. You have a choice. Instead of a map, I want you to think about what God does provide for us. He gives us a compass and a companion. So on this journey, we're provided a compass, and a companion. So let's look at a compass real quick. The compass, our spiritual compass, and the compass that God provides always points to true north. It always points to the bright and morning star, as it says in Scripture. And the needle of that spiritual compass continually seeks the Savior. No matter what point in the journey that we are, that compass will always point towards our Savior. And even when we don't know where we're going, If we follow the true north, if we follow the bright and morning star, if we align ourselves to the compass which points to the Savior, even when we don't know where we're going, we're going to have clear direction. Because we're not guaranteed what the path is going to look like, but we know that we're going to be in better hands if we place it in God's hands than ours. So now think about the companion that we have. So not only does God give us a compass, but he gives us a companion. Now, our companion is Jesus Christ. Our companion is the Holy Spirit. Our companion is God himself, the Trinity, three in one. It's the companion is the one who walks with us, who talks with us, who carries us at points in our journey, and especially carrying the burden when we can't carry it on our own. That's what the companion does for us. Now, often in life, we choose the clearly marked path or the easily seen path. But the truth is, many times, just because it's clearly marked and just because it's easy doesn't mean that it's the right path to take. Because that's not even how life works. Even if we choose the easy path, even if we choose the clearly marked path, it doesn't mean that that's exactly the way to go. You see, the call of Christ is completely different. Where the world would say, take the easy way, Jesus looks at his potential followers in Luke 14, and he says, but don't even begin until you count the cost. That's what Jesus said to those who were potentially going to follow him. He says, listen, don't even go down this path. Don't even start this journey before you count the cost of what it's going to take and what it's going to mean. Another time, Jesus says in Luke 9, he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I mean, think about, look at the implications of this scripture. He says, if any of you, if you want to be my follower, you must turn your selfish ways. Turn from your selfish ways. Don't go your own way. Take up your cross. And now how often does he say to take up our cross? Daily. To daily take up our cross. See, that's why when we talk about meeting God in the crossroads of life and this series of what now, when we look at everything that's happening, we are met with daily decisions at these crossroads of life. Now, how are we going to choose? Which way are we going to go? That's the reason why we're going to go through this series, because it's going to help us to realize that at those crossroads moments, there is a choice. And in his scripture, he says, you got to count the cost. You have to give up going your own way. You need to take up your cross. So I want you to go back to the compass. What would happen if the compass was always pointing towards yourself? Now, I want you to think about it. If you've ever used a compass, you know it always finds magnetic north. So just imagine if you're walking and all of a sudden the compass just keeps pointing back towards you. Which direction are you going to end up going? Yeah, you got it. Backwards. See, that's the story that we find ourselves in. Every time we follow the true north, it moves us forwards. Every time we follow ourselves, all we do is end up going backwards. That's when we make our own path, we think that we're moving forward, but the truth is all we keep doing is going backwards. And we don't seem to ever feel like we get ground. I can't tell you how many times I feel like people have said, I feel like I'm running on a treadmill in life, or I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I feel like I haven't accomplished anything. And it's because when we look at our compass, which direction is the needle facing? Is it facing towards the true north, the bright and morning star, or is it facing back towards ourselves and we just really are honestly just keep working backwards instead? I like the theme verse for our series is actually Jeremiah 6:16. In Jeremiah 6:16, it reads, this is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. The first thing you need to do is when you get to that crossroad moment is look around. What are the paths? What are the ways? What are the decisions? And it says, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Find God in the path. Walk with him. Travel its path. And when you do, you will find rest for your souls. But now here's the thing. This isn't completed. Jeremiah points out the harsh reality when he's talking to the people of Israel. He's trying to call them back to get off of the path of selfishness and to get onto God's path. And he points out this harsh reality. He says, but you reply, no, that's not the road that we want. See, this is the hardest part about when we find ourselves at the crossroads and when we meet God. God says, this is the way I want you to go. And we're like, yeah, I don't want to go that way. Yeah, sorry, God. I mean, that looks great, potentially. But I don't know. I mean, I can't see the end result of that. So I think I'm going to go this way. Jeremiah helps us to see that that was the reality then. And for many of us, it's the reality now. See, again, I want to point out, you have a choice. You have a choice. I love the idea of life being a journey. That's the way I view life. It's a journey. And here's the thing about hiking. Hiking is still hiking. I mean, think about this. Even if you choose the marked path for hiking, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There have been hikes, and I think I've even shared before, we went up to Devil's Lake in Wisconsin, and we went on a hike, and it was not easy. It was on the designated path, and we went the designated way, and it was still incredibly challenging. Because at the end of the day, hiking is hiking. And even though you're on the path and you're following God, it doesn't mean that it's just going to be smooth sailing. You have a choice. You can follow the signs that are marked out on the route, or you can ignore the signs that say that there's a hazard ahead, and you can follow down the route that says, don't go this way. And the problem with that is the pathway potentially could be eroded, could have a ton of fallen trees, or there might be a bear waiting for you. You have a choice. Just like we found ourselves next to the Presque Isle River in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, we had a choice. We decided to listen to the signs, and we followed around, and we were able to go through the detour. And that's exactly what God wants to do. We have a choice. Now, if you feel lost or confused today, if you feel like this COVID-19 has got us just, I mean, so confused about which way is up and what is happening and are we moving forward? Are we moving backwards? Are we in phase four? Are we in phase three? I mean, what's going to happen? Numbers keep going up. There's a lot of confusion. I just feel lost. God, where are you? If that's you today, don't keep choosing the path of feeling lost and confused. Don't keep walking down further down that pathway. Instead, get off the path of being lost and confused and instead follow God. Now, how can I say that so easily? Get off the path of lost and confusion and follow God. It's because of two things. One, personal experience of knowing God. And two, God is not lost. God is not lost. God has never been lost. God doesn't even know how to get lost. So if you feel lost and confused, and God is not lost and not confused, then we need to get off the path of lost and confusion and get on the path of God, because he's not lost and he knows the way. And even though it might be difficult, and even though we don't know and it's unknown, at least there's a clear direction. And we're going to say, even through the midst of all of this, we are going to follow Christ. We're going to follow God. So here's the message in a couple of sentences. So when you get down to it, here's what it means. It's not about where you're going. In a way, it's not about where you're going. It's not about when you'll get there. It's not even about how you get there. Ultimately, the what now moment of life is who journeys with you. It's about who journeys with you. Think about this. Let the who of your journey be Jesus. You see, because who Jesus is in our lives makes the difference of how we move through the journey. Again, it's not about where. It's not about when. It's not about how. It's about who. So would you close your eyes and let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the fact that you desire to journey with us. I know that there's many who feel lost right now, who feel confused, who feel like it just doesn't seem to make sense. And we find ourselves at this crossroads. Do we continue to go down the path of being lost and confused, or is today an opportunity for us to choose your path, to get off of the path of being lost and confused, and to step onto the path of following after you? Because we're thankful and we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are not lost. So Lord, I pray that as we think about our own compass this morning, as we think about where is that needle pointed, is it pointed towards a true north? Is it pointed towards you? Or do we find that when we look at our spiritual compass, it's pointing back towards us? Help us to take into consideration, what does it mean to get the focus off of us and put the focus on you? I'm thankful that you are a person of reality. You told us to count the cost. You told us that we needed to give up our daily lives. You told us to take up our cross. You told us to give it over to you every day. So even in the moments when we find ourselves in the crossroads, I pray that we choose you. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would make that which is so confusing right now clear. We know that you are not a God of confusion, but you are a God of peace and comfort. I thank you for this and pray it in your name. Amen.